Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
And we have with us today the founder of the group, William Canongeiser. Welcome, Bill, to Crossover.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks.
Well, this is probably your third appearance over the years we have had you on, because you have always generated such an amount of interest to our listeners. And I was thrilled to receive the new album that you did with this brand new concerto by Sergio Assad, Interchange. So I'd love to talk about what's been going on with your quartet and, of course, the inspiration for this new album. Tell us a little bit about what's been happening with you as a quartet.
Well, we're really excited about the release of this new CD, because it's the first concerto record we've ever done. We've released, I kind of lost count now, but it's going over 12 or 13 CDs. But we've never been able to have it worked out where we have a full symphony orchestra backing us up. And for years, we've performed this wonderful piece by the great Joaquin Rodrigo, the great Spanish composer. Most people know him for his Concerto de Aranjuez for solo guitar, but he also wrote this great piece, Concerto Andaluz, for our mentors and dear friends, the Romeros.
Now, you met Rodrigo, didn't you, when you had a master class?
Yeah, he came to USC in, I think it was 1980 or so. Pepe Romero invited him, and Rodrigo received an honorary doctorate, and a bunch of the students got to play for him, and at the members of the quartet at that time got to perform as soloists for him. We never played for him as a quartet, but got to meet him and play for him. It was amazing. You know, so
he's blind, of course, isn't he?
He was blind from age three. When I was playing for him, I got this feeling that none of the sort of artifices of performance, you know, like how you move around, the kind of faces you make, you know, all these kind of play acting things, none of that was going to affect him. And I realized, wow, it's just the sound that's going to get through to him. And it really focused me on the performance. You know, it was really an interesting experience, you know. But getting back to this, you know, we've performed his piece for years. We played it at the Hollywood Bowl. We played it with Boston Pops and toured it with the Orpheus Chamber Ensemble, and we even got to play it at the Aranjuez Castle to celebrate Rodrigo's 100th birthday.
Very beautiful area.
It was incredible. Just outside of Madrid, you know, outdoor evening concert. It was fantastic. But the thing is, we've played this piece so many times and just loved it, but never had a chance to record it. And it wasn't until our friend Sergio Assad, who's a brilliant performer in his own right. I'm sure most of your listeners know the Assad brothers.
Oh, they're amazing, yes.
Yeah. Well, born in Brazil, and they've played with everybody. You know,
Nadia, I think, Solano Sonnenberg did an album with them.
Albums with her, and Sergio even wrote a triple concerto for the three of them. They've played with Gidon Kramer and done a bunch of things with Yo-Yo Ma on his Obrigado Brazil record.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, we've known Sergio almost as long as the Romeros. I mean, we met them when we were just students and we're dear friends. And he's written a couple of things for us with our quartet. Our most recent CD was a Brazil album. And he arranged a bunch of Jobim tunes for us with a wonderful singer from Brazil.
So, Bill, you've worked with Sergio then for quite a long time. Is that right?
We had a long collaboration with him, but we've always talked about a concerto. And it was a buddy of ours who runs a little guitar festival down in San Antonio who said, I'm going to make this happen. And he found the funding for the commission, and he arranged it with the San Antonio Symphony. And so we premiered this piece just a little more than a year ago. It was February 2009. And then we had a string of performances with it. And the last of the performances in the spring season was with the Delaware Symphony. And we spoke with the conductor, David Amado, who we had worked with before. We had done the Rodrigo with him like 2 years ago. And we really hit it off with him. Like, you know, we've worked with a lot of conductors, a lot of symphonies. And there was something about that group and something about David that we just really enjoyed. And you know, he's a great musician, really into all kinds of contemporary stuff and folk music, and but he's also really into coffee. That really impressed us. he's one of the few people we've met who has a better espresso machine at home than Scott. You know, he roasts
first
his own beans.
First, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So you know, they really stepped up to the plate and they said, hey, this is a cool idea. And they really worked it out.
Well, they sound wonderful on the recording, I must say.
They sound amazing. And they put their heart and soul and, to be honest, their financial power into
yes.
it. They made
mm-hmm.
it happen and did all kinds of extra things that you know, that they didn't have to do, but they were really committed to making it a great recording, not least of which was the fact that Sergio wrote this piece, Interchange. I'll talk about the piece in a minute. But he called for all kinds of unusual percussion instruments, you know, like these rare Brazilian drums and these, you know, special kind of tambourines and stuff.
Yes.
And David, like, you know, went to New York with the percussion guy and, like, rented or found or bought these special instruments. They really went the extra mile. And, you know, to make this a great recording. And it's their, I believe it's their debut recording, but boy, they sound like seasoned professionals.
Oh, well, I really must say it's, you know, they're neighbors, and we've known the Delaware Symphony for years, but this is a spectacular recording. But I guess the Interchange has different moods for each movement.
Yeah, you know, I can talk a little bit now about the, you know, the piece itself and, like, what the thought process was behind it. And as I said, we've known Sergio for so many years, and he's come to LA to visit us over the years. He knows our playing really well, each of us. And his idea at the very beginning was, he said, I'm going to write a movement for each of you guys. Mm. And then I'll write a fifth movement where all of the themes come together. And so the whole idea is each movement, it has a specific kind of thematic or stylistic emphasis
right.
that really is about one of the members of the group. And each of us gets a little cadenza or a little solo moment in that movement. And so the first movement, the Sephardic Passage.
Who's that?
You know, that's me. That's me. Because he knows I love world music. I'm of Jewish heritage.
Ah, well.
And it's kind of got a little bit of a Middle Eastern and
yes,
a little klezmer
yeah.
kind of thing. And then I've got a little cadenza near the end. That's my Oy Vey moment, you know. And you know, and it's a, you know, really fun piece. And the second one that he called Gypsy Slopes.
Yes.
Is dedicated to Scott Tennant, who's a brilliant flamenco player, and it has a very Spanish kind of feeling, and he gets a cadenza in a true flamenco form, and we actually accompany him by doing that Spanish clapping, you know, that
yes,
antiphonal
the flamenco,
clapping.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The third movement, the one you mentioned, the Pacific Overlook, was written for Matt, who's the newest member of the group. He's been with us for 3 years. And Matt is a fantastic jazz player. And that I think that's why it had that sort of McLaughlin-esque sound. Matt was really interested in this sort of contemporary jazz kind of feeling. And Sergio wrote this, you know, beautiful kind of groove tune for him. And there's one moment where Matt is free to improvise. And every time he does it, it's his solo. You know, the orchestra is laying down this kind of groove, and he just, you know, blows a solo like a jazz musician, you know.
And how do you pronounce his last name? Greif or Greif?
Greif, exactly.
Greif, okay.
Greif,
yeah.
Greif. And then the fourth movement, the Foro Blues Detour, was written for John, who John's always loved Brazilian music. And he also has a specially built 7-string guitar with a low bass string. And Sergio wrote a piece very much based on this kind of Brazilian dance called the Foro, which is a kind of fast samba that's called a baião.
Mm.
And it's that real typical northern Brazil cool groove kind of thing. I think, it, to be honest, it's my favorite movement of the whole piece. And he gives John a brief solo where he really explores the bass of his guitar. And it's very much in the traditional Brazilian choro style mm-hmm. of guitar playing. And it's really a fun thing. So, you know, first four movements give each of us a moment to sort of shine and show our personality. And then the fifth movement, which he calls Crossings, he gives us an extended cadenza where all of the major themes that you heard before get kind of intermixed, intertwined, and then the orchestra comes in and by themselves does this long exposition where they work out all these themes. And then when we join them, it kind of rises to a big finale. So that's the structure of the piece, is four different feelings that come together in the end.
Well, it's really rather delightful to listen to. I mean, it's very accessible, and I don't mean that in a condescending way. It's just a pleasure to listen to. Of course, you guys are marvelous. You are wonderful musicians, and I've always felt that through the years. And you're very effusive today, so I guess you're happy with everything, Bill, the way things
are
going. Could you explain a little bit about your connection with the Romeros? Did you study with them at USC?
Oh, yeah.
Was that is kind of the place to go if you want to learn classical guitar these days, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, in the late 70s, USC in Los Angeles was kind of a mecca for guitar. And Pepe Romero, who's the second oldest son of the Romero clan, and a great virtuoso, and who I now consider my guitar guru, essentially. Pepe was a magnet that drew some of the finest talent in, you know, young classical guitars all over the world. And that's how the LA Guitar Quartet met. We were originally the USC Guitar Quartet. We were taking a course called Guitar Ensemble. Mm-hmm. And we decided to form this little group. And you could think of it that, you know, 30 years later, we're still trying to get an A in that class.
Forget it.
I know. But, you know, the thing is, we're so close with the Romeros, you know, even though essentially, you know, you could say that, well, are we competitors with them? We've never felt that. We're, as Pepe likes to say, he said, "You are my children."
Ah, that's, you know, that's quite a responsibility.
You know, I know. Of course, we've gone a different direction, you know, than they're a little bit more traditional focus on Spanish and classical music. But, you know, in a sense, the whole vibe of this record, it has two pillars that are holding it up. One is the piece written for the Romeros, and then there's this piece written for us 30 years later. And in a sense, for us, it represents our tradition, our past, you know, where we came from, paying homage to the tradition of the Romeros and the Spanish style. And then the Sergio Assad piece, which shows kind of our new direction, our future, which is taking music that we love from all over the world and intermixing it and modifying it. So
I think you've done that, though. I think you did Spain by Chick Corea on one of your albums.
Absolutely.
I mean, a while ago now. We're talking, what, 8-9 years ago, something like that?
Could be even more,
More. And I think one of the reasons I took note of the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet, because we get a lot of discs in, you know, at the station, was that you were varied and not, again, I don't want to use the word condescending too much, but you knew what you were doing. You played beautifully. You respected the genre that you were playing in, but it was fun to listen to as well. And I think you've carried through on that with this new album, because the new work is just beautiful. And of course, the Concierto Andaluz is it's a standard, I guess, for four guitars. How often you get four guitars to play? I mean, are you unique as an ensemble? How many other quartets are there, guitar quartets?
Well, certainly the Romeros are it's funny because I think between the influence of the Romeros and our recordings, you'd be surprised how many fine young quartets there are. You know, we travel to Beijing and there's this group, the Four Boys. We go to Switzerland and there's the Eos Quartet. We go to Australia and there's the I can't remember their name now. Well, there's an Australian guitar quartet. There's guitar quartets all over now, and I don't think we take complete responsibility for this, but I think one could argue that the guitar quartet is now an established medium for chamber music and for the concert stage. And it's not a string quartet yet, but there's a larger repertoire being developed for it. and an audience and an appreciation for Guitar Quartet.
What I love about you is your enthusiasm and your joy and your excitement in working with what you worked with all your life. And yeah. And once you lose that, forget about it. And I don't think you will. And I think one feels that in the performances of the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet. They're real, they're intense, they're fresh, and you have fun doing it. So I hope that that there are many, many more recordings forthcoming. And Bill, you as a soloist, of course, have done some things, and we'll have to talk about that another time. But a pleasure, Absolutely. A pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.